Cause you're a sky, cause you're a sky.
Welcome to the Athenaeum Astronomy Association's April podcast, the first one in 2017's British summertime. As you know, we put our clocks forward an hour near the end of March, so as to increase the length of daylight in the evening. Of course, the sun has not changed its timing. It continues to operate in what we call Universal Standard Time, UT for short, or Greenwich Mean Time as it used to be called. The unfortunate effect for astronomers is that the practice of using British Summer Time means that we have to wait an extra hour before it gets dark. Of course, it is said that every cloud has a silver lining, and so those astronomers that like to observe in the pre-dawn skies will have an hour's extra darkness before it gets light. So the timing for the rising and setting of the sun in British summertime this month are as follows. At the beginning of April, the sun will rise at about 6:40 a.m. and set around 7:30 p.m. And by the end of the month, the sun will rise at about 5:30 a.m. and set at about 8:30 p.m. The moon will reach first quarter on April the 3rd, be full on April the 11th, will be at last quarter on April the 19th, and will be new on April the 26th. There are two comets that may be visible with binoculars this month. On the 1st of April, Comet 41P should be at about 8 degrees north of Mizar, the middle star of the handle of the plough. During the month it will move slowly into Draco, and by April the 20th it will have reached Beta Draconis in the head of the dragon. Hopefully, on April the 22nd, Comet C2015V2, comets have really exciting names these days, should be within range of binoculars in the constellation of Hercules, between the naked eye stars Tau and Upsilon. Unlike Comet 41P, which is a periodic comet which orbits the Sun every 5.4 years, Comet C2015V2 is destined to leave the solar system altogether. For Northern Hemisphere observers, Mercury continues its best evening showing of the year. It will present itself shining at first magnitude after sunset during the first week of April, appearing about 8 degrees above the western horizon as it emerges from the glow of sunset. Venus is now a morning object and can be seen very low in the eastern sky before dawn. Mars can still be seen in the western evening sky, shining about magnitude plus 1.6, still visible with the naked eye. On the 21st of April, it will be 3 degrees below the Pleiades star cluster, low down in the west. Jupiter reaches opposition on the 7th of April. This means that the Sun, the Earth, and Jupiter will be in a line, and the distance between Earth and Jupiter will be closest for this year. Jupiter is always a magnificent sight in a telescope. It rotates rapidly, taking approximately 10 hours to complete one rotation, and this causes the planet to bulge at the equator. A telescopic view clearly shows this, as the visible disk of the planet appears noticeably distorted. The rapid spin of the planet means that features such as the Great Red Spot, if out of sight behind the planet at the start of an observing session, will soon come into view. The maximum time a feature can remain hidden is about 5 hours. In any event, the information about such matters as the current visibility of the Great Red Spot is readily available on, for example, a Gulu Planetarium program. This will allow you to plan an observing session that is timed to show you the aspect of the planet in which you are interested. Speaking of the Great Red Spot, there is evidence to suggest that it is shrinking. It was first photographed in the 1870s, from which its size was estimated to be about 30,000 kilometres in length. Today, it is only estimated to be about 16,000 kilometres in length. Recently, its colour has intensified. It is not known why these changes have come about. When someone first observes Jupiter through a telescope, they are often surprised that it does not look as it does in photographs. The markings of the cloud bands are much more subtle than they expect. In fact, it takes time for the eye to learn to see the details of the markings on Jupiter. It is a case of the more you look, the more you see. It is worth spending a little time allowing the eye to learn to perceive the subtle shadings and shapes in the cloud bands. An additional attraction of Jupiter is the constant dance of the four Galilean moons, Ganymede, Europa, Callisto and Io. A good planetarium computer program will show where the four moons are at any one time and will let you know when one of the moons, together with its shadow, will cross the face of the planet. The dance of Jupiter's moons helped us make one of the first estimates of the speed of light. Watching the movement of the moons enabled predictions to be made about the time of eclipses and other phenomena, such as the time a moon would begin to cross the face of the planet. It was noted that the predictions were accurate when the planet was near opposition and was thus at its closest to us. But as the distance between Jupiter and Earth increased, the predictions became less accurate, and the predicted phenomena occurred later than expected. It was observed that the discrepancy increased as the distance between Jupiter and Earth got larger. It was thought that the discrepancy was due to the time taken for light to cover the extra distance between the two planets, and, from the values observed, an estimate of the speed of light was calculated. Jupiter makes one complete orbit of the Sun in 12 Earth years. As its orbit keeps it close to the ecliptic, that is the path of the Sun as it moves through the constellations of the zodiac, it moves 1/12 of the way round the ecliptic each year. Jupiter is currently in the constellation of Virgo, but is slowly moving towards Libra. I mention this because Jupiter will be moving into that part of the ecliptic that is low in the sky during the hours of darkness as it passes through Libra into Scorpius and Sagittarius. This is significant as astronomical objects are best seen when they are as high in the sky as possible, as they are then being observed through less atmosphere. Objects that are low in the sky are affected by both atmospheric turbulence and light absorption, so that telescopic views are not as clear as when the objects are higher in the sky. Jupiter can currently be observed at a respectable altitude, but over the next few years will gradually get lower in the sky, and thus it will be more difficult to see details of its cloud bands. April is a good month for looking outside our Milky Way galaxy to look at our neighbours. The constellation Virgo is away from the Milky Way and gives us a clear view into deep space. Many galaxies are to be found in this area of sky. Messier catalogued a number of the brighter ones, and their precise locations can be obtained from a good star map. M84 and M86 are a pair of elliptical galaxies which shine at 9th magnitude. They lie at about 55 million light years from us. A telescope with a half degree field of view will enable them to be seen together. They lie near the border of Virgo and Coma Berenices. M87 is a giant elliptical galaxy and at magnitude 8.6 is within range of binoculars. It produces strong radio emissions. It is famous for its jet, which comes from its central black hole. Unfortunately, the jet is not easily visible in amateur instruments. The galaxy is 41 million light years away. It is to be found a little to the south of M84 and M86. M90 can be found a little to the north and left of M87. It is a spiral galaxy shining at magnitude 9.5 and lies some 50 million light years from us. Its light is blue shifted, which indicates that it is moving towards us. Finally, M61 is a face-on spiral galaxy, which was initially mistaken for a comet by Messier. It is 65 million light years away and shines at magnitude 9.6. It is 120,000 light years in diameter. It is to be found 5 degrees due north of the star Zarnia, otherwise known as Eta Virginis. That is all for this month. I hope you enjoy tracking some of these objects down.